Good morning to you. It is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Now, the budget for repairing Northern Ireland's roads is set to run out next month. The Department of Infrastructure has said the £43 million set aside for maintenance work, like the resurfacing, the fixing, the potholes, it's almost spent 5 months before the end of the financial year. What's the state of play where you are? I'd love to hear from you on the programme this morning. How bad are the roads close to you? Do give us a ring, 028 90 333 105, wherever you happen to be across Northern Ireland. This is an issue. Now, some people just let it happen. They continue on. They don't care if there's a rut in the road or a pothole. But how far will the Department of Infrastructure actually let it go? Let me speak to Roy Beggs, one of our local MLAs. Roy Beggs, good morning.
Good morning.
This is shameful, to say the least. People are paying their taxes. They're paying exceptional amounts of money to keep their cars in good trim. They're driving along roads that are absolutely, completely and utterly pot-marked by potholes, and there's danger mixed in with all of that as well.
This is what happens when we have irresponsible politicians. First of all, the Assembly was brought down without any budget, so there was never a budget set following consultation and finalised. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you, Roy.
Sorry, I thought I lost you there. So there was no budget set. And then in the course of any year, there's always money that doesn't get spent in one box or budget part or another. And there's an in-year monitoring process. Normally, it's a minister or the executive would decide for transfers. It's totally intolerable that our roads could have been left, could be left with potholes. Now, we have to also understand that if the roads are not, if potholes or defects are not repaired within a short period of time, a reasonable period of time, courts will actually go against the department and award costs to others. Now, there could be personal injuries here, or even worse, but more likely it's, there's going to be significant damages to vehicles. But there could actually be lives at risk here. And the cost to the individuals involved is not acceptable that they should suffer that, nor is it acceptable that huge costs could be ultimately have to be paid from the public purse. Additional monies have to be made available now. I'm actually going to a meeting with principal secretaries involving the finances at Stormont later today, and I certainly will be raising this issue there. This is not tolerable.
Yeah, it may not be tolerable, but it's not a brand new problem. Even when we had an executive, the state of the roads were very much in decline.
Yes, I was previously on the Public Accounts Committee, and I am aware that there's been an estimate that approximately £120 million a year are needed just to maintain the roads at the status quo. And if we don't continually resurfacing, you end up having to regularly fix potholes, which ultimately becomes much more expensive than planned maintenance and doing complete stretches of roads.
So when can we expect something to be done to ensure that they don't, as I've suggested earlier, go into free fall?
Well, I think that there will have to be a decision. Firstly, the Ulster Unionist Party's preference is that we should have an executive in place and they take the decisions. If that is not going to be, then someone else, some other mechanism has to be in place, whether that is the Secretary of State or direct rural ministers. We cannot go on drifting and drifting. There's problems in health, in education, there's roads, there's probably other problems that are going to emerge as well. Decisions do need to be taken. If there's a need for an emergency short-term decision, I have a thought this is a no-brainer, because civil servants have already approved for instance, the Molluss incinerator, which is £100 million, a contract involving hundreds, maybe even billions of pounds over the period of time, and if folks fit to do that, it makes common sense that they should ensure that maintenance and emergency repairs continue to be funded and carried out.
Okay. Roy Beggs, Ulster Unionist Party, thank you very much indeed. I want to speak to Stephen Agnew from the Green Party. Stephen Agnew, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
the Green Party, this wouldn't be very high up your list of priorities, the state of the roads?
No, well, I think we often say maybe we build roads that shouldn't be a priority, but in terms of maintaining the existing roads, as Roy has already highlighted, this is a matter of public safety, and indeed damage to vehicles, etc., would be a concern. No politician who knocks doors won't know how big an issue this is sort of for people on an everyday basis. I think it's right to point out that the failure to implement the budget before bringing down the Assembly was probably the biggest failure of governance I've seen since in my time in politics. And we've seen the problems that's caused for health, the problems it's caused for education, and now we're seeing the problems within the Department of Infrastructure. I think I'd, along with that criticism, I would criticise the department. The idea that you wait for October monitoring rounds, again, as Roy talked about, money being moved around to fill these gaps, is bad budgeting. This wasn't unknown spend, wasn't unplanned. They should have budgeted at the year's outset. But the reality is we need an Assembly back up and running to be managing these issues and to be dealing with these problems.
So we're now in a situation where we're not going to see the lorries on the roads, the diggers on the roads, the tar men, whatever you want to call them. They're not going to be employed over the next 5 or 6 months when essential work needs to be done.
Yeah, well, I believe in one way or another, we will have to have a budget by the end of October. The Secretary of State has said he will bring forward a budget in the autumn if there isn't an Assembly to do so. And we will see how much of these problems can be mitigated. I would be surprised if we go to the end of the budgetary term, in other words, to the end of March, without road repairs. But it's not outside the realms of possibility either. But I have made very clear, unfortunately, I'm not optimistic that we will have an Assembly in the near future to pass that budget. And I'm clear that it's not acceptable that these two parties are able to disagree and therefore pull the institutions down. If they're unwilling, we need the Secretary of State to bring in the legislation that would allow for a coalition of the willing, those parties who are willing to get in and do the job and work together and make the compromises to resolve these problems. And that, I think it's the onus is now on the Secretary of State to put that to the DUP and Sinn Féin. If you won't do the job, others are waiting the wings to do it. You'll have to step aside and let them get on with it.
The other alternative, of course, is if you want your pothole fixed, you need direct rule.
Well, I don't think that's something that we should accept or welcome. I commonly say I wouldn't give more power to the Tories than they already have. I think we've rejected the Tories at the ballot box time and time again in Northern Ireland. I don't want to see them in charge here. I want to see local politicians making decisions on behalf of local people. And as I say, if the DUP and Sinn Féin can't get on with doing that, they should step aside and the rest of us should be allowed to get on with it.
OK, Stephen Agnew from the Green Party, thank you. Do let us know the state of the roads where you are. If you could wave a magic wand and get the roads operatives to come down your way, which road would you need fixed? How bad are those roads in whichever county you're in? You can let us know.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, listening to you.
The man with the business brain is available to speak to us, Jamie. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jamie, how do we resolve the issue of the roads being in such a bad state and the money not being available?
Yeah, I think that the fact that, or the claim rather, that it's down to the crisis at Stormont is part of the story, but not the whole one. Even if an executive were up and running, the amount of money that is needed in Northern Ireland or is available, rather, through the block grant, is pretty much staying the same over the next number of years. At the same time, you have health and maybe to a lesser extent education demanding or requiring more. I mean, health certainly is always looking for a larger share of the cake. So when you have a very limited amount of money and you have several departments, as I say, health being the the biggest and most notable one looking for extra cash, then it's always going to put a squeeze on the other departments. And I mean, this is not new with roads. I mean, it's only a couple of years ago that we had this crisis over street lights and fixing potholes and winter services. And incidentally, winter services, that's the budget that looks after all the de-icing of the roads around the winter time. That's separate from this particular budget, and I think seems to be okay. But you know, what we're talking about is a continual and will be a continual crisis in money for things that are not seen to be absolutely essential. Although I think people would say fixing potholes and is pretty much up there with those things that should get a very high priority.
It seems like a long time since Danny Kennedy was talking like the modern-day politician is talking, not suggesting Danny Kennedy is a dinosaur, but he was very much involved in an argument years ago about money not being available for roads, and it caused a lot of controversy.
That's true. That is absolutely true. There were a range of things that required money, and Danny Kennedy, who was the minister then, had not been had allocated it by the rest of the executive and was in a particularly difficult position politically. So that's one aspect of it. The fact of the matter was that there was such a constraint. So what we're seeing is like it's you know, I hate using this term, but it is a bit like Groundhog Day. It just seems to be that we only have to look at some new crisis and you discover that something very similar happened a couple of years ago, and then you begin to think, well, that was at a time when the executive was functioning, so maybe it's not just entirely down. No, that contributes to it. It also hinders the fixing of it, the fact that we don't have an executive, the fact that we don't have a finance minister in place to allocate money as is required. But still in all, what we do have, we have those senior civil servants who are able to make recommendations, and presumably the go-ahead will be given when these monitoring rounds, the next monitoring round takes place, and there is a certain amount of money freed up, as is always the case, because what happens is schemes right throughout the whole of what the Stormont is doing, for various reasons, can't get off the ground, more slowly, and that means that there is spare cash available. So there will be readies there to be used to fix the roads. So and in that sense, it will be solved. I'm pretty sure, probably not perfectly, but it's no way to run a railroad, is it?
Well, that's one way of putting it, Jamie. That is one way of putting it. Let me speak to Barry. Thank you, Jamie. Barry, who's on line one. Good morning, Barry.
Hello.
The state of the roads down your way, Barry. What do you have to say?
Frank, I live in Belfast and travel to Hollywood to work every day. And I would just like to say to you, the state of the Sydenham bypass from D Street Bridge to the George Best Airport, there's approximately, I counted them, there's approximately 140 lumps, bumps, divots on this main arterial route out of Belfast. And I just think it's an absolute disgrace.
Well, Barry, that would shorten the winter, counting every hump and bump on the road. But it's interesting. I was out that road not so long ago myself. It's shameful, and it's just one of many. And it's going to get worse. How does it make you feel?
Well, to be honest with you, Frank, I have to go down that road every morning to work, and I just think it takes an awful toll on the actual vehicles that are travelling up and down the road as well. And it hasn't just been like this for a while; it's been like this for a few years. So,
who do you blame, Barry?
Well, obviously, it must be the roads department. In actual fact, I had it in my mind about a week ago to try and contact someone, and I was just in the motor today when I heard on your programme that you were discussing this, and I thought it would be appropriate time to speak to you about it, and maybe hopefully, although there is no money, that it would be put on the agenda to be looked at when there's money available.
Yeah, it's timely to get in touch. Whether or not, indeed, the people you make contact with will ever be able to help, that's the other question. When obviously we're discussing the lack of a budget. If they haven't got the money, they can't do it. Barry, you're frustrated. It's understandable. Looking at texts and emails, lots of people are. What's the state of the roads where you are? You can let us know, 90333105. Let me speak to Terence, who we feature on this programme from time to time, who's an expert on road safety. Terence, good morning.
Oh, here, Frank, I like that there, boy. You'll be getting an extra bun with your tea there, an expert. How you doing,
well,
boy?
You're certainly someone. I'm good. You live, sleep and eat road safety. You're one of the leaders of the North Down and Ards Road Safety Initiative. Is it overstating it to say that if the roads are rutted, if they're potholed, if they're potmarked in such a way that people feel uncomfortable when they're driving, that it adds to danger? Is there any correlation?
Oh, there has to be, Frank. People come along the transport and I put down all these nice new roads and everything's fine and dandy maybe for two or three months. And then all of a sudden maybe somebody comes along, digs it up, puts the drain in, somebody comes along, digs it up, puts cables in, and all this here all, I mean, in certain places, I think it's over in Germany or something, that once a brand new road goes in, you're not allowed to touch it for 5 years unless there's an emergency. But I mean, once you dig those up and you start cutting holes in them, they're never filled in and they're never put back down properly the way they were. And I mean, myself, I do a lot of motorcycling on the roads. I mean, anybody on a push bike or particularly a motorcycle there, I mean, if you're travelling at the speed limit there, some of the roads are just absolutely horrendous. Some of the ruts and whatnot, you get stuck in there. There's one there between Bangor and Donegadee there. They put a new pipeline in. And I mean, it's just like riding in the inside of a wheel. It's just terrible, you know.
And do you find yourself that it's mainly down to road maintenance or to the utilities not doing the job properly, or is it wear and tear on the road? Surely we need to get the roads tarred regularly.
Well, I mean, I don't know financially wise. I mean, how much it costs to tar so much per foot. I mean, but I would say when they're working that into the budget. But I mean, a lot of it's down to utilities as well too. Because I mean, even look at our footpaths and whatnot. There's a whole lot of people putting cables in there at the minute, and the roads are just in a terrible state. And then that's all carried on, and you know, the muck's carried on them. And if you get gaps in there where they put the new tarmac and all down there with a door repair job, I mean, after a while the water gets in there. Come the winter, if it's a bad winter, you mean, it pushes the tarmac up. And I mean, I'm on the roads here every day, and I mean, some of them are just like a patchwork quilt. I mean, that does have to lead the road safety. But you know, I wouldn't be getting it. You know, it's not Transport NI. They're only there to facilitate the work. It is because we don't have the funds, and we need the funds to keep the roads up to date. And that's what's wrong. We're slowly getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse here. We're going into the dark ages here with our roads and road safety, you know.
It's hard to argue with it. Terence, thank you. I think Ross is in Tandragee. Ross, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, you're talking
What's
about
the state
money
of them in County Armagh?
Yeah. You're talking about money being allocated to roads or allocated for road repair. We have a road in Tandragee here. It's the Ballymore Road. And it was set up, money was allocated for it to be resurfaced to maybe 3 years ago. And that job was never done, so it wasn't. This is a wee rural road. It gets resurfaced or it gets gritted right up to the last housing state. And then after that, for maybe two miles, it's never touched as far as grit's concerned. And in the wintertime, it
yes,
is
but are you
ridiculous.
Complaining about? But are you complaining about? Yes, but are you complaining about it not being gritted, or are you complaining
about
being tarred?
No. This it was supposed to be resurfaced 2, maybe 3 years ago, but it was never done. The money had been allocated for it to be done. It was set up to be done and was never done. So it wasn't. So it's
and
still
generally,
in the same condition
generally
now.
Generally, the area around you in Tandragee, is it a patchwork quilt? Are there lots of potholes? Oh, just away from that one road that you have interest in, an area which is pretty poorly serviced?
It is poorly serviced. There are some roads that have been completely resurfaced. Sections of the road I'm talking about have been completely resurfaced right up to including the last housing estate. But after you go past the entrance of the last housing estate, when you're heading out of Tandragee, it stopped. Came to a line and then just stopped. And like I say, it was allocated and funded for resurfacing 2 or 3 years ago. It was set up for resurfacing. All the sand was put over the ironwork. The way signs were put up for loose chippings and whatnot. And it was never done. And it is dangerous.
Well, it's more frustration. More frustration, and as you say, dangerous as well. Ross, thank you for that.
Frank,
we are live here. Go ahead.
Right. I don't know whether this is true, but when the DOE go around and put the wee yellow paint marks around holes, I've heard it said that after that, you put a claim in, after driving into that hole, forget it. You're not going to get it. Because that road has been allocated for fixing.
Okay, thank you, Ross.
Okay, Frank, thank you.
That's one of the things that... Thank you, Ross. You're echoing in my ear because I'm hearing Ross maybe at a different time from when everyone else is hearing him. But Ross, thank you. We're live from the tented village that is the Tesco Taste Festival that's going to be running from this afternoon right through the weekend. We'll be finding out more about it very shortly indeed. But the state of the roads where you are, we're interested in it. And it's a valid point that Ross makes there, that once they mark a hole in the road, they have taken action. And apparently after that, you can't claim the compensation. Right, good morning, 90 treble 3 105 077 66.